How's everybody feeling? After lunch, everybody's halfway awake at least. Yep. Having a good convention. So appreciate the opportunity to be here today. As mentioned, my wife and I, we live there in Virginia. I've been with American Farmland Trust for about 4.5 years now. It's been an amazing journey. We reside on her family's operation. Her grandfather purchased that land back in 1951. And we're really excited and proud to be bringing on the next generation. And so a lot of what I'm going to talk about today regarding ranch diagnostic tools and where to start is going to go back to my experiences with our operation and tools that we've implemented. And when I speak about tools, mostly I'm talking about apps and software. And I've given some presentations in the past about apps and software, and kind of the key takeaway there is utilizing that technology in order for it to be effective and worthwhile, it needs to be resolving a real challenge that you're facing. And for me, having an off-farm job or off-ranch job, time is my biggest limiting factor. And so most of what I've implemented is hopefully reducing the amount of time spent. But also, as a first-generation producer, there's still a lack of knowledge. And so hopefully some of these tools will help you as well. So I want to start off with this slide here. It looks like a wonderful high-quality cow there looking in the mirror. And honestly, we're not seeing what she's seeing. And I think at the end of the day, these tools that I'm going to talk about are hopefully going to help us to visualize and look at the indicators that are on our operations in order to make management decisions that are going to help us be more resilient and more profitable. So yeah, it's a big game of Clue, right? So our operations, oftentimes it appears as though it's a puzzle. There's so many different pieces that come into play as to whether we're going to be profitable or not. And when we think about some of these overarching things, we think about forage availability. We think about the quality of the forages that we have. We think about manure and what that can tell us, body condition scores, and at the end of the day, when we're talking about indicators, I know this is more of a nutrition talk, but profitability is key, and all these things come in together. So just want to kind of give a brief overview. I'm still a pretty good fan of Excel sheets. Is everybody kind of familiar? Microsoft Excel, a bit of an older technology, not quite as old as paper and pen, but a lot of the extension resources that are provided utilize Excel sheets, and they're really effective, and we're going to talk about one here in just a moment. Downloaded software back in the day, my first cattle management program, they sent me a CD, and I downloaded the program, and it worked for that time, but now we've moved forward, and if you've walked around the trade show, you've likely seen cloud-based systems, apps on your phone that you can utilize, and having it there in your pocket is quite helpful. So again, when we think about forage availability, these are the couple of programs I'm going to talk about, and I'm just going to reiterate that these aren't the only programs that are out and about, but these are just some of the ones that I've used. So picture this in AgriWeb from a forage availability standpoint, Oklahoma State's calculator for looking at the forage analysis and balancing rations there. We have a nutritionist there at the feed company that we work with, but at the same time, you can utilize this sheet, pull forage samples, and kind of work to develop your own deal too. Manure analysis, there's an app. Funny as it is, called Cow Poop Analyzer. And from a profitability standpoint, I'm going to talk a little bit about Ambrook. So picture this is an app that it does cost if you want to use it continuously. And what it does is it allows you to take a picture of a plant, bird, or insect, and it'll tell you, it'll identify it and then give you kind of whether it's a biennial, an annual, perennial, those types of things. It's kind of optimal growing. And the reason I like this when I talk about forage availability is if you have a sense of what plants you have on the range manager in your pasture, then you can have a better sense of what those animals are actually eating and taking in. You know, it's not just grass that they're eating. And if we go out, and I highly recommend we watch our cattle, because they'll take a bite of this, they'll take a bite of that. And when you, if you don't know what they're eating, you know, it's there's a lot of plants out there. It's hard to know exactly what they are. But if you watch and say, oh man, all right, I'm going to take a picture of this, it pops it up. And then you can either find out if she's going to die because it was poisonous, or you can determine, you know, okay, well, this is good. Maybe it's going to be high quality forage for our calf. And so, yeah, this is one, and it's pretty accurate. I've taken pictures of plants in the middle of winter that just have a skeleton of a seed, and it was able to identify that plant with high accuracy. And this is one example of the Jimson weed. I mean, it was just a skeleton, and it popped it right up, and then it will give you pictures of that plant during different phases throughout the year. All right, and so moving on to the next, talk briefly about AgriWeb. AgriWeb is a livestock management software, and it does a lot of different things. I mean, we background cattle, and so for us, being able to bring those cattle in shoot side, we can capture their weights, we can capture protocols, different vaccinations we're giving them, et cetera. But, you know, from a nutrition talk like what we're having today and diagnostic talk, I think the piece that is really helpful is as we're developing out our grazing management plans. You know, how much forage do we have available? What time of year do we want to graze these pastures or paddocks? I know the other day I was looking at developing out my grazing plan for this upcoming year, and I was able to hop on AgriWeb and kind of hovering around and seeing, okay, well, you know, these particular pastures don't have a lot of trees for shade. And so that's going to dictate how we rotate our cattle around, because in Virginia it gets hot and it gets humid. And so being able to utilize AgriWeb to help develop out that system has been beneficial. It is an app and it is on the cloud, so you can use the computer on your desktop or you can use your phone. And so I wanted to pull kind of these two features out specifically. So it does obviously keep your livestock inventory records, all your health records. But when we talk about forage and ranch diagnostics, you know, it'll give you the number of days a pasture has been grazed. It'll give you your grazable acres. You know, maybe that field is 300 acres, and maybe you've got a pond that's like 5 acres within it. You can take that out because obviously the cattle aren't going to go and graze forage in there. You can open and close gates. So that's all super helpful. And then the other piece of this too is, as we look at having to supplement our cattle throughout the year, AgriWeb will actually allow you to put in feed inventory. And so if you've got so many bales of hay that are harvested off a particular field, you take that, it records how much forage came off that field, and then you can store it in a barn, and then you can either sell that hay or you can feed it to a group of cattle. And so I think it's really critical for us to know our cost of production, and having these types of records it really helps with that. Another piece of the equation when we talk about ranch diagnostics is forage quality. Out of curiosity, who in here has pulled forage samples, whether it be off of standing growing forages or off of hay? That's good. Yeah, we've got quite a few in here. And when I work with producers back home, you know, there's a couple of different reasons why we'd want to pull forage samples. But the biggest thing for us is matching the right forage with the right species or the right stage of production. You know, if you're finishing beef on forage, or if you've got growing cattle or lactating cattle, obviously they need a higher plane of nutrition than, say, a dry cow or a bull. And so pulling those hay samples, using a core to get really good consistency in those samples. And then I think the important thing too is pulling those hay samples as close as you can to when you're actually going to feed that. And so, you know, if you make that hay in July and you go out and pull that sample, yeah, that's better than nothing, but it'd be much better if you were to pull those, say, a month before you're feeding it. It'd be much more accurate. And so from this, we can get an idea of the crude protein, the energy levels, you know, the ash content, the lignin, so how digestible is that forage. And you can also do it on standing forage. So you can go out and clip it down to the height that you would actually graze. And if you're going to do that, again, like I mentioned earlier, looking to see what those cattle are actually eating and trying to get a good variability. Don't just go pull all the clover. Don't just go pull all the grass for those samples. And if you're going to pull green samples, you can either freeze them and send them pretty quick. Don't send them on a Friday because they will rot in the mail over the weekend. Or you can dry them out and send them to the lab. So once you get those samples back, you know, you can start to play with rations and you can start to see how that might impact your operation. And one sheet, there's several of these out that are available, and you can pay money to get a nutrition balancer, but you know, this one here is free, and it's pretty pretty intuitive and comprehensive from Oklahoma State. And you know, so when you download it, it gives you kind of some instructions. It has these the cattle, the balancer, the feed list, and a summary sheet. And so what I've pulled here is, you know, the cattle section. And certainly it's important to note the number of cattle, the initial weight that you're going to start them. And for our operation, we're buying 3 and 4 weight calves and taking them up to, like, say, 575, 600 pounds. So I kind of plug that in there. You could anticipate what their finished weight would be. That gives an idea of their overall potential. And then breed composition, and what type of cattle they are. Are they growing and finishing? Are they heifers? What have you? So once you plug all this information in, then you plug the information, the data from the forage samples that you've pulled. And those can be pulled right off the results, and you can do it on an as-fed or dry matter basis. Dry matter is once they dry it down. As fed is, as it sounds, as you feed it. And so that just takes into account the moisture content. And then that's going to pop out kind of this the status here, whether it's adequate or not, to meet their requirements. You can, I can't remember if I put it in here or not, but on the feed list side of things, if you're feeding supplements, you can add in your own. So they have a list that's pre-populated with your typical supplements and commodities. Or if you have a custom feed that you're buying from, say, a local co-op or something, you have the analysis on it, then you can plug those in as well. Another piece of the program, which I find to be pretty interesting and helpful, is the body condition score guidelines. And you know, there's body condition scoring apps that you can have. I haven't found one yet that does it through, like, artificial intelligence, where you take a picture and it all of a sudden it pops out the body condition score. I'm sure they could do it, but it's probably just not enough money to justify the effort. But at this point, I think it's more of an educational piece that's built in. And I don't think, I mean, you could certainly body condition score every calf that runs through the chute, or every cow that runs through the chute. You know, I don't know if it's necessary. I think if you're training your eye and you're looking at, you know, body condition score of 1, yeah, she's really thin. Or 9, she's really obese. And 5, she's just right. So my personal opinion is utilize this to train yourself, train your help. You know, we've started hiring high school kids, and I'm kicking myself sometimes for that, but there's a lot of training that's required for them, but even other folks that have been with you for a while, I think understanding this, because for each body condition score, on average, it's about 75 pounds of live weight. And if we're wanting our cows to be calving at a body condition score of, say, 5, well, you know, we don't want them, it's a whole lot easier to put that weight on before they start calving than after, once they start lactating. And so this is also going to come into play with our nutritional program and the decisions that we make. And the breed back on those cattle is going to be so much faster. In order to have a calf every year, they need to be getting bred back, like, within 80 days or so of when they calve. And so having them in the right condition is vital. But I did pull this little screenshot out from AgriWeb. As you're working a cow through the chute, you can do a body condition score and record that for each animal if you so choose. So yeah, if manure could talk, and kind of a gross looking picture, but it's a picture that I took on a cover crop grazing project that we're doing. And for this particular deal, high moisture content in the forage. There's some heifers that were out grazing. And so we ended up putting out some square bale hay, add a little bit of roughage there and to tighten them up. But manure can talk, and there's an app for that. It's called Cow Poop Analyzer. Again, I don't think it's something that you need to take a picture of every cow pile on your farm every day, but it's more of a training tool. Like when you go out there, and especially, well, I'll get to that in a second, but so you take a picture using the app, and so that's this one here, and then they have preloaded pictures within the app that you compare it against, and you slide through, and they have kind of estimated crude protein and the digestibility of the forage in there to compare against, and it'll actually save it, and you can select which field it came from. But you know, in our neck of the woods right now, we're still grazing stockpiled fescue, and it's starting to lose some quality. We still have some green out there, but when you look at this, you would say, okay, based on the cow poop analyzer, I need to be supplementing some wheat mids or soy hulls or corn gluten, something to bump that protein level up. And so, yeah, this is stockpile from last week at our place, and we've started supplementing them on that to keep that plant nutrition where it needs to be for those cattle. And the last one I'm going to mention, when we talk about ranch diagnostics, again, this isn't nutrition-based, but in my opinion, you know, we all want to try to make a profit, or at least I hope so. And we can also diagnose our ranch's profitability. And so I just wanted to throw this out there. It's a finance or a farm agriculture accounting software, pretty new. We were using QuickBooks Desktop for the longest time, and I got frustrated with it. And Ambrook is, I like it because it's focused just on agriculture. On the back end, a lot of the components are tagged to a Schedule F, so it makes tax season quite a bit easier. And, you know, for us, I can, the thing that fascinated me the most was with the artificial intelligence. When I get a bill, I can take a picture of it, it reads it, plops everything in, and I don't have to type anything. And then the other cool piece of it is on the ledger, you know, I can pull my phone out, whereas I might have wasted time looking up Facebook Marketplace before. Now if I got downtime, I can pull out my phone and just start tagging expenses because it's linked to my checking account, and I can link it to bills, and all of a sudden it's saying, okay, this was a feed expense, and it was tied to the Stocker Enterprise. And all of a sudden, I can start doing managerial accounting, looking at each enterprise and determining which is the most profitable. So again, I've been using it for about a year. I'm still learning new features. They're still adding features, but it's something I just wanted to throw in there because I think it might help some folks. Not going to talk about all these, but they've got apps for everything. And you know, you can get most current market prices. These are, I've used all of these before, you know, Pasture Map and Maya Grazing. There's so many apps and software out there. And again, the takeaway is ensure the technology that you get is going to resolve an actual problem on your operation. Don't just get it because it's the newest, greatest, coolest thing. And some of these have an expense associated with them. And you can spend a lot of money on technology. And so ensuring you're right-sizing the technology with your operation, if you've got 10 cows, you probably don't need a $1,000 software program. So just make sure to ask lots of questions, and it's great if you can demo them ahead of time to make sure it's the right fit for you. So with that, I'll pass it along.
Mic working? We good? Can you hear me in the back? My voice generally carries very well. Appreciate everybody's time. I know time's the most valuable thing you have. Really appreciate everybody sticking around on a Friday afternoon. I'm sure a few of you thought about being poolside right now, and so hopefully bear with us for 30 more minutes, and then we can have a beverage and go poolside. But appreciate the time. As was stated earlier, my name's Jeff Helt, Beef Technical Lead for Selco. Just a little bit of, I'm going to stand down off the podium because I don't want to walk off it and hurt myself and embarrass myself, but a little bit of context to where my head was when I put these slides together. I've been in the nutrition business and in the technical services business my whole career, and a lot of the slides we're going to cover today have come from questions I've been asked over the years about certain things that we can look at or measure, and how do we figure out if what my problem might be. And so that was kind of my mindset when I put these slides together. So from a diagnostic standpoint or a usability standpoint, there's all sorts of things out there that tell us if something's working or not, right? There's dials, meters, gauges, salt, we get indications of something's working correctly or not. And the session before with the heifer developments, what Jacob talked about, how do we know our tools are working correctly if we're not measuring what we can, our tools. So from a nutritional perspective, what can I use to see if I'm doing the right thing or not? We got weight gain. We can look at weight gain. Oftentimes we consider pregnancy rates, right? Some things like that we measure. But we're going to try to dig in a little bit deeper on some things we can look at to see if things are working. And really what got me to thinking about this is our company right now is predominantly in the trace mineral business. How many people think minerals cheap right now? Right? And so that's really what got me to think about this. Is I called my local feed guy, and the most common bag going out the door a couple weeks ago was, $1,300 a ton. How do you know your $1,300 a ton mineral's working? I'm going to have a little bit of a heavy emphasis on minerals. How do you know it's doing the job? I kind of know if they're healthy, that's probably doing something, probably working. Again, pregnancy rates, if they're okay, it's probably working okay. What if I could be feeding a $1,000 ton mineral, right? So how do I know that's doing what I want it to do? Because we spend a lot of money, and I talk about mineral, but everything's expensive right now. Inflation's gone up, and we're spending a lot of money on input costs. We're trying to manage the inputs appropriately and do the best we can, but how do we know those are really working? And I had to do this. I'm analytical. 4 ounce mineral a day. I that's 4 ounces. I put my mouse beside that to just kind of get a visual. It's a lot of money for that 4 ounces, and I really should know if it's doing something for me or not, or if I need to make a change. And so I'm going to dig into some of that. So what we're going to cover, Jacob touched a little bit, but real quickly, diagnostics from an ingredient standpoint. I spent a lot of money on that mineral. We'll touch on how can I really find out if it's working or not. Some watch-outs, and again, these are some things we've learned over the years and questions I've got, and dug into those, and then we'll wrap up. So the feed ingredient stuff, again, Jacob talked about taking samples. Obviously, that's important. If we're going to take samples, make sure we're getting a variety from whatever lot of hay or grains we're looking at. Make sure we get a representative sample with what I'm going to feed through that whole time. You're going to work with your local extension or your local feed guy to send it to a lab. Make sure whatever nutrient analysis you're looking at when you get it back is reported on a dry matter basis. We don't care about the water that's in those feeds. The nutrients from a dry matter basis is what we want. If you want the most correct answer of protein or energy or any of those things, wet lab chemistry is the preferred method, where they actually digest the ingredients and run them through all the lab procedures. That'll get you the most accurate analysis. It's a little bit more expensive, but it will get you the most accurate analysis. The alternative is NIR, where they run it through the computer and spits out wavelengths and it gives you an answer. That's a good starting point, but probably won't give you the most accurate answer. So consider that. Make sure you're doing, obviously, the macro nutrients, protein, energy, the minerals. Again, this one is often overlooked because it adds cost to that that analysis, but concentrate on the trace minerals, at least for a period of time, so you can kind of understand the baseline. Again, to try to understand what my feeds are bringing to balance out my mineral program. Is there a place where I can maybe make a tweak or change because of what my feed ingredients are buying or bringing? Water, how many people have done water analysis? Few. It's pretty critical to understand what's there as well. High salt waters contribute to poor mineral consumption, right? And that may not be the best outcome for you. There's can be antagonists, trace mineral antagonists in water, sulfur particularly. And so just having an understanding of what that water supply is, and ideally maybe over a couple times a year, winter, summer, just to make sure things aren't changing and you have an unknown that pops out. So try to keep track of that. And then with these, and I was guilty of this early in my career as well, I got those reports back, I looked at them, I may have put them in a ration balancer, and they probably went in the file cabinet somewhere and I never looked at them again. I'm a big fan of Excel spreadsheets too, and having some historical data is always very helpful as well. Protein energy levels, I've seen a fair amount of uh-ohs at some ranches, wonder why this happened. And is it health related? Was it nutrition related? Don't know. And oftentimes drought years contribute to that. If I can go back and historically look and compare this year to the last couple years, maybe that can help me solve some of those problems when I have an uh-oh at the ranch that I'm not familiar with why it might have happened. From an observational standpoint, body condition does a really good job helping us understand protein, energy, nutrition. Obviously, we need to tweak things based off body condition. But back to the mineral deal, I can't see if my mineral's working or not. You can't look at a cow unless you come into a wreck. You can't see anything from a status standpoint with a subclinical deficiency. And so I think there's ways we can help diagnose and dig into that, and we'll talk about that. A way to diagnose your mineral program is blood samples. That can give you some indicators, but I'll show you some slides of why that might not be the best bet. Whole blood is good for selenium analysis, serum's okay for zinc analysis, but the body does a really good job of trying to keep those all at the same level, all these trace minerals, because they can be toxic. And if they get too high in the blood, something bad is about to happen. If they get too low, something bad's about to happen. And so blood's a start, but it's not a great way to really diagnose. Our suggestion, and I think a lot of veterinarians would support this too, liver biopsies are a great way to figure out if I've got my mineral program doing what I want it to do. Most veterinarians can do that. Universities oftentimes have extension personnel can do that, or staff veterinarians, grad students. There's multiple ways to get those biopsies done. And it really can be fairly convenient when you bring cows in at preg check time. They're already in the chute. Grab a few biopsies, send them off to the diagnostic lab, and then you get your results back. So I think from a management of input standpoint, and again, I mentioned trace minerals or minerals being expensive, maybe this can start to give me an indication of, can I tweak my program? Am I about to have a health issue or reproduction? And so think about that. Stocker cattle. Do stocker cattle get sick? Do we get concerned about that every once in a while? I think you get stocker cattle in, if they're coming through the chute to get processed, we can pull a biopsy, random cattle through the chute. Stockers are going to be around for 90, 120, 120, 150 days, and so I've got time to understand what, if I need an improved mineral source, do I really need to jack their status up because they're deficient? To try to get ahead of some of that watch out at the end of the grazing period. Those are going to cost about $50 a sample. Rule of thumb is about 10 head per herd. I've got 100 cows, 10 head. If I got 1,000 cows, 10 head. If you're going to do it from the same age group of animal. If you do young cows and old cows, you're going to have a wide bell-shaped curve and maybe make the interpretation a little bit harder. So pick one group and stick with that, and I would suggest we do it every year to allow me to see if I need to tweak my programs or not. And why the liver? The liver is the gas tank for the trace minerals. Again, trace minerals, immunity, health, reproduction, they all kind of get implicated. I want to make sure my gas tank's full when I'm going into those hard times. And so that's the way I kind of see the liver biopsies. I want to make sure I got fuel in the engine to keep going. And I would prefer it be proactive. I get way too many of these calls of this red-tinged black calf, and oh crap, I might have a copper deficiency. And then we sample everything and we get the results back, and yeah, we got a copper deficiency. So if I can be ahead of that, we don't have those calls that we're trying to figure out and fix a problem. So some of the watch-outs here, some things that popped up over the years. So I'll touch on the injectable trace minerals, sampling time, the blood samples, and then so just some awareness around labs. This is busy, but this is some work done at Iowa State University where they were looking at a bunch of different mineral repletion strategies for cattle that were coming into the feedlot. And the only lines you need to pay attention to, this is blood selenium, blood zinc, and blood manganese. Just pay attention to this high one. That's the mineral level in the blood. All these other lines are feed through. And so this is hours post-injection. So within 8 hours post-injection, like we would expect, those blood levels rise rapidly, as we would hope they would. But understand, they do start to come down very quickly. And then what that then leads to, this is liver status. So liver, high blood, a lot of it went to the liver to be stored, but then can decline rapidly as well. This is about 30, 45 days post-injection. And so I bring this up, if I'm going to do biopsies, I've got to understand, did I put something in them, and what it might do for a short period of time, and just be cognizant of that. Injectable trace minerals are can be used and used appropriately, but make sure if you're going to sample something, you do it further past, at least 60 days past your injectable. So rapid increase, but short-lived in the liver. Stage of production. This is some work on some cows at North Carolina State University. The black line is cows that were fed copper. The blue line were cows that were not fed supplemental copper. And then this is days of gestation. And the reason I bring this up is if I sample too close to calving, there is huge fetal demands for nutrients. And we heard that earlier in the heifer session as well. The fetus is sucking a lot of nutrients out of the system, and the fetus has taken all the copper it can from mom. And so if I sample too close to calving, I may get an unrealistic low. She's really not deficient. The calf was taking a lot. And that's why, 90 days pre-calving, I think, is the ideal time, again, around preg check time. So just be careful. Don't get too close to calving, either side, if I'm going to pull these samples. This next one comes up a lot. So I've got a cow that unfortunately had cow mortality. I've got a calf mortality. We're going to call the vet. We're going to have them come out and look for pathogens and figure out what might have caused the mortality. Can I pull a liver biopsy on that animal? It's there. Will that tell me anything? There's not a lot of work on that, but I did look at some stuff from the University of Nebraska, where they took a set of cows and took biopsies. There's three time points. Pre-slaughter, they went to the abattoir at the university, pre-harvest, and then two sites on the liver post-harvest. And so this would be liver copper. So right when she walked in the abattoir, she had 100 parts per million copper in her liver. Right after, it was 300. So three times what it was before when she was alive and breathing. So you can see the same thing for zinc. Manganese went up. Manganese is really low in the liver. It also went up twice as much. Then iron went down. And so I just show this, or want to bring this up, is that you want to do the diagnostics from a veterinary standpoint, but from a nutritional standpoint, it's not going to tell us anything. And I would suggest not doing that sampling for nutritional analysis. So got to be very, very careful if I get one of those back. blood, I touched on blood. This is some really old work, but I think it's really cool. And I talked about homeostasis and the body wanting to keep everything kind of even keel. This is plasma copper, and this is the liver dry matter parts per million of copper. And this red line is 100 parts per million copper. Anything above that is adequate for the animal. So at 100 parts per million copper, liver blood was 9. At 500 parts per million copper in our liver, so almost toxic, blood level was 9. The blood did not change until 42 parts per million, which is really deficient. And so I just, again, this is a watch out. We see blood samples. It's really hard to interpret those, and that's why liver would be a better indication for status. And then a couple slides here. They're real busy. These are just, again, some watch out slides. First of all, use the labs that you're most comfortable with, but also understand if I'm using multiple labs that there is lab to lab variation, unfortunately. And work with the local feed company, your tech service people to help support those feed companies. Extension, again, try to identify labs that can help you and get the best answers. There's a government entity that has known ingredients with known standards of nutrients. And so we bought some standards from those. This is a certified tomato leaf. It's known to have these analyses every time. And so it gives you a really good indication of checking things out. We sent that to multiple labs, and this one lab here was significantly off of what those numbers should have been. The other labs were a lot closer, and so I hate to bring it up, but understand that there's noises between labs, and work with somebody that you know and trust on making sure you're getting a lab that's going to give you some good, credible numbers that you're going to make financial decisions on, feed ingredients, purchases, or what you have at home. And unfortunately, diagnostic labs are different as well. We took some liver biopsies on some feedlot steers we had on a research project, or a research steer, sent the same liver sample to these four labs, and there was some noise amongst those labs too. And so there's making a decision from this lab, a nutritional change based off this lab, from this lab, I might make up my mind two different ways. And so a watch out I want to bring awareness to that, again, we got to be careful with some of our interpretation and work with people you know and trust. Same thing from we had certified bovine analysis as well. Same noise. So just be careful. And this was serum, so even more noise with serum when we sent to those diagnostic labs. And finally, if you're sending liver biopsies to a lab, make sure the lab reports those back to you on a dry matter basis as well. And here's an example why. This was from a set of samples I got back. As is, the liver copper was 26 parts per million. And generally, those diagnostic labs will give you a range, low, medium, high. But if it's not reported on a dry matter basis, I may get a false interpretation as well, because sickness, plain of nutrition, all those things can affect the dry matter content of the liver. Is it shrinking? Is it hydrated? Sick animal is going to have a different dry matter than a healthy animal. And so if I don't get the dry matter right, I'm going to get a wrong number. So did the same thing on selenium. But if without the dry matter, the sick animal would show up adequate. But if it was a healthy animal, it was deficient. Right. And so I think it's critical that we make sure we get those on a dry matter basis to make the right appropriate change if I need to make a change. If I do this, I get all the data back. What do I do? I put it in a spreadsheet, said that before. This is an example of what we've done at a Montana ranch, liver copper, liver zinc, liver manganese, plugged them into a spreadsheet, had it spit out some pretty graphs. The low bar is the deficient. Anything below that would be deficient. Anything above that would be considered excess or potentially toxic. And it gives me a real quick snapshot of the herd. This herd was in great shape from a mineral status standpoint. No tweaks needed to be made. Hopefully then we can look at these year over year and and see if there's any changes that occur. A ranch that I've worked with in Nebraska that does this continually, we started monitoring these over time. So this is some data I pulled from 2013, 2014, 2016. I forget why we skipped 2015. But we started here. I got a call from the ranch because there was a wreck. And this was a way to start diagnosis of what may be going on there. And those cattle had some pretty darn severe deficiencies. And we tweaked the mineral program, did some other things. We see over time, we gradually improved the status of those cows with the mineral programs we put out there. And then we got to this point where we then could start to have some other discussions of, now that we got the cows where we need them to be, can I start to tweak my levels a little bit and save me some money? Cows are above adequate. Can I tweak? Can I save a dollar here or there? And so for future ranch success and profitability. So to me, you get a lot of pieces of paper, but once you plug it in the spreadsheet, get the picture, it makes it pretty easy to start your interpretation and the direction you need to go from there. So with that, I will just wrap up with these. Preg check time, 10 cows, stalker cattle, 10 of them. When they're through the chute, send them to diagnostic labs, build your spreadsheet. The feed-wise, again, wet lab chemistry is going to give you the most accurate answer. Just touched on the liver dry matters, or make sure it's on a dry matter basis, and lots of people out there to help interpret those. If it seems daunting, there's resources out there, and take advantage of those. So with that, I am done, and I think at this time we'll open it to questions for both of us. And yes, sir. So the question was about injectable trace minerals. Do they have a place? And I will say they have a place. You read the label for those. They are to be used in conjunction with oral mineral, so free choice loose mineral. But there's no doubt, and based off those graphs, and there's many studies with those, they do rapidly increase the status of the animal. If you have a known set of cattle that have not had mineral for an extended period of time or maybe under high stress, and they will provide a short-term boost to get the system kind of back where it needs to be. But it will tail off, and then I still need to get good mineral into those cattle after that. So, it doesn't replace it, and the label says to feed or use in conjunction with oral minerals, if I remember the label right. It's been a while since I looked at one, but I'm pretty sure that's what it says.
Yeah, it's to be used in conjunction with a regular mineral program. Yep. It's like a five-hour energy shot, right, for minerals. So if you don't have background on your cattle, they're a perfect example. If you're bringing in fresh heifers that you're going to breed up, they're an excellent option to give to make sure they kind of get the status, things like that. Maybe before breeding, your bull turnout, 90 days before. Just for spermatogenesis and things like that. So it is a good option sometimes. But it is under prescription because of the selenium that's in it, because selenium is toxic in high concentrations. So that's why it is a prescription.
Thank you for bringing that up. And just be careful with those. You're right. Be careful with those. I've known one of the researchers here in Florida, Dr. Arthington, we worked with. He was doing some some injectable studies. And selenium deficiency is big here in Florida. And so the cattle that they were doing tests on were getting selenium in their mineral. They were getting selenium in their supplement. And oh, by the way, I got an injectable mineral, and not all those cattle made it to the end of the study. So a word of caution, especially from a selenium standpoint.
Any other questions? Oh, I'll make it there. Just give me a second.
Don't forget Jacob's ready for questions.
Yeah, too. Jacob's up here. He's hiding. He's sitting down. He'll take some questions, though.
Jeff, you talked about selenium here a minute ago. We did some liver biopsies in western South Dakota this year, and with the drought, all the 10 of the cows, like you said, is what we did, were off the charts. And this particular ranch has been feeding a no selenium mineral. Some forage analysis done at South Dakota State showed that some of the plants were selenium accumulating plants. So feeding a no selenium mineral, what else considerations should this operation, I mean, how many years of rain is it going to take for things to come back down?
Yeah, I don't have a good answer for that one. And South Dakota, of all places, I got my master's there and know the history of South Dakota, and especially along the river and into Wyoming, there's some selenium hotspots for sure. I forget when the label, when this label was made, but South Dakota State, the anecdote or antidote to selenium toxicity is arsenic. And the university would send out arsenic packets in the 40s. You can't do that today. So I just bring that up, that there is almost nothing you can do in that situation other than trying to dilute out that base forage supply with some other low selenium ingredients to get the total diet back kind of where it needs to be. That's a tough spot to be in. I don't have a really good answer for that.
Jeff, what about feeding, trying to increase our antagonists of selenium to try to...
Arsenic is the only known one.
Only known one.
Yeah, only known antagonist. And I truly wouldn't want to recommend somebody put some arsenic in their cattle.
Right.
So just dilution of diet or dilution of that forage is really the only alternative. And that probably really means some kind of graze for so many hours and put some hay in the corral, logistics for that would be tough. So best of luck.
Any other questions? All right, are we sure? Okay, well, let's thank our speakers one last time. We wrap up today. So before you all take off, I just want to remind you, you all are the ones that help us set Cattlemen's College for next year. So you will get a survey. There's surveys in the app as well. Please, please, please respond to those surveys. That helps us pick next year. Also in that survey, you know, as you're aware, if you've come to past Cattlemen's Colleges, we changed the schedule this year. We kind of spread it out across convention. Did you like that new format, or do you like the old format better? Put that in that survey. It will help us make the decision for next year in San Antonio. I hope to see you all in San Antonio next year. Thank you all for coming to Cattlemen's College.